Amen. Well, today we are so thankful for you and your family and friends that are here today. As we continue to study our theme, we started the first year, which is called Discovering Team Destiny. Discovering Team Destiny. And as we discover Team Destiny, what we're doing is we're going through our core value system here at the church and who has God called us to be. And one of the things that we really value, that we really want to make sure that we are integrating in everything that we do in our ministry, and that we, as we grow and as we continue to grow, as we have grown very fast here at Destiny Church, one of the important things is we don't forget who we are and who God's called us to be. And that we don't allow our momentum to take us a certain way that which we know God has not called us to be. And so it's very easy to grow fast and to forget that we're called to grow small. Do you know that? It's important that we grow small as we grow large. And what do you mean by that, Pastor? That means that we continue to have pockets of people who are developing in small groups, in ministry, getting plugged in, that you're using your giftings, that we don't have the same people doing the same thing all the time, but we're continually to multiply ministry and to releasing ministry into the hands of the people. Word of God says the pastors were called to what? To equip and to train the people to do the work of the ministry. And so you are called to do the work of the ministry. I am called to do the work of the ministry. And we're called today. We're going to do it together. So if you came to a church looking for a place just to come on Sunday morning only and not be challenged to do anything else, you're in the wrong spot, because I believe God is going to challenge you to use your giftings for Him. And we talked about that very much in our very first lesson in the series, which is talking about unwrapping our spiritual gifts, that every one of us have a place to be used, that God has a gifting in every one of us, that He has given that to us, that it was not skipped over by anybody. He says that at salvation, that God has given every one of us, at our Christian birth, He has given every one of us giftings from Him. And that none were left out. Isn't that an awesome thing? This is not recess in elementary school, where only certain ones are picked, you know. Only the fast kids and the best kids, you know, that are popular ones are picked. This is not that at all. That God has no respect to our persons. He says that every one of us have giftings that He has given and He wants to use in our lives. And so as we look at that and we begin to discover some of our core values, and right now we're talking about growing. And it's very much in our core value system that we are called to be people who grow. To grow, and that if you want to be a Christian, it doesn't make a difference if you've been saved for 2 weeks or you've been saved for 40 years, that every one of us should be growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. If we are not growing, we are... Let's say it again. It's good. If we are not growing, we are dying. Okay. How many think that's a great testimony to have in my life? I'm a Christian, but man, I'm dying. Hallelujah. Ain't God good? You know, it doesn't go hand in hand, does it? It doesn't make a lot of sense. So we want to be growing. We should be growing. Scripture is very clear that we're called to grow. And it's so awesome that when Jesus came to walk this earth, that He did certain things by example for us. And that's just what I love about our Jesus. This is just not some man-made God here that, you know, some guy wrote in the vision, this is what happened. But we see where Jesus came and took a man form and a baby form and walked this earth. And the Word of God is very clear. And we get our growing from this chapter in Luke 2:52, which is very clear. It says the Bible tells us that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with favor with man. And we talked about, over the last 2 weeks, we talked about growing in wisdom, and we talked about growing with closer to God. Now, stature, growing in stature talks about our physical bodies and how Jesus grew physically. And I preached a sermon originally on this, and I preached one on it recently to all the guys in our Body for God. And so I'm not going to dwell on that part of this verse. We're going to skip that one, but you know that Jesus grew physically fit. And that it's important to keep our bodies physically fit. We should be exercising. We should be dieting properly and all those things. But today we're going to go right to this growing in favor with men. And then we're going to talk about growing our relationships, that growing our relationships, and how important that is that we grow our relationships. And I think this is such a fascinating subject when it comes to Jesus, is His relationships with people. Matter of fact, it's one of my favorite things to study, because there's not been a lot written about it. There's not a lot of books on how Jesus related to people and His relationships with people. And so as I began to study it, I found out there wasn't a lot available, so it forced me to really dig into the Bible and see what did Jesus relate to people, and how did He relate to people, and who did He relate to? And we see a lot of things that Jesus really grew relationally with people. And when it talks about that He grew in favor with God and man, this is not talking about a social favor, okay? This is not that He grew and knew which side of the fork to put the table on, you know, on the plate. He didn't know how to hold his teeth up and sip just right. You know, it wasn't. He's not talking about growing in his etiquette. He's talking about growing in favor with men. He's talking about his relationships, the very core relationships with people. Now, isn't this interesting that Jesus led by example, that he grew in wisdom, and he grew in favor with God, and he grew in favor with men. And so we see that Jesus did it by example. And so how did he do that? And I believe we can look at principles that tell us how Jesus did this. But I love this because Jesus always had time for people. Jesus always did things in relationship with people. As I studied this out, I found out just in the New Testament alone, there's 108 different meetings that Jesus had with people. 108 different times we see where Jesus had meetings with people. Just in the four Gospels alone, it tells us that Jesus gives a little bit of himself to people all the time. And we see 108 specific situations where he met with a person or this friend or that crowd. And all those meetings, there are 102 people listed by name or by individual group. Now, that does not include the great crowds that he ministered to. That's not including the great multitudes that the Bible would say, the multitude or the crowd. So we can look at 102 instances where we see where he met people, either one-on-one or his disciples, or it was the woman at the well, or it was the blind man, or it was the little children, or it was the crowd or the multitude or the feeding of the 5,000, which had probably 30,000 to 40,000 people there when you count the children and women that would have been there. We see that Jesus met with people. He was all about people. And this is what's such an awesome thing is our God is a people person. Do you realize your God is a people person? That's an awesome thing to think about, that my God cares about me. And we see even in Scripture where that's how personal he is, that he says even the hairs in our head are numbered, that he knows us in an individual way. And as we study the pattern of his life and how he built his relationships, we can learn a lot. And today we're going to learn a lot because whether you have children, whether you have a spouse, whether you're a boss or you have a boss, you have employees or you're an employer, however you have, we're going to learn today that there's a right way to have relationships with people. There's a right way to deal with people. And if we use Jesus' pattern in our life, it will grow our relationships. It will strengthen our relationships and we'll become the kind of friend in our relationship that God has called us to be. And so we can study the pattern of how Jesus related to people. Jesus met with all kinds of people, from the children to the sick, the desperate, to the wealthy, to the Pharisees, to the Sadducees, to all the CCCs. He met with them all, okay? And he was not a respecter of persons, and he had time for people. Jesus filled his life with touching people's lives. I mean, people were just magnetized to be around him. People love to be around Jesus. Don't you want to be that kind of person that when you walk in a room that people love to talk to you, that people love to be in your presence because not because of your personality, but because of the spirit that's in you? I mean, there's certain people that I love to be around them because I know when I'm around them, not that they're always going to be the life of the party, but I'm talking about they just have such a good spirit. I always leave encouraged. I always leave refreshed when I'm talking to them. That they always have good things to say, and they always are either honest with me or they just always have something to always encourage me. And it seems like I love being around those kind of people. And I am praying that God would help me to become that kind of person. That God, that you would help me, and I'm praying that God, you would help me in my relationships, that I can be the kind of person that when I'm with people, that I encourage them and that I minister to their needs and that I'm sensitive to what's going on. I tell you this, I'm not always good at this. Can I be honest with you and tell you, sometimes I really fail at this. I'm not always the best person to be around 24 hours a day. Right, honey? Right? Sometimes I don't always do well, even though I try. There's still areas in my life that I've got to grow and I've got to learn to do this. And Jesus was such a good person at looking by example, by how he really related to people. And as we look at his life, I believe people wanted to be around Jesus because he was so humble and he was so honest and he was so full of integrity. That you just love to be around him. But as I think about those things, I think about, you know, here's the one man who never sinned. And we can learn so much from his life that he was the one person who never sinned, who was perfect. The rest of us have all sinned to come short of the glory of God. And so I began to think about that. I thought, God, how can I relate your relationships when you're God, you know? And so I wanted to really look at it in a practical way. And as I really study the scriptures, I look and see how can you and I really relate in a tangible way to the way that Jesus related to people? And how can you and I apply some of the same principles that he did in his life to people he built relationships with. And so we're going to do this. Let's look at some ways that we can strengthen our relationships and make us better. Number one, he wasn't afraid to be alone. He wasn't afraid to be alone. Luke 5:16 says it like this. Jesus often slipped away. How many times? Often. Jesus often slipped away to be alone so he could pray. He wasn't afraid to be alone. And some of us today, you say, Pastor, I'm not afraid to be alone either. Oh, really? When's the last time you really had some silence in your life? When's the last time you got in the car and didn't turn on the radio or CD? When's the last time you didn't go home and turn on the TV? When's the last time you didn't just shut your computer off and everything off and just really meditate on what God wants to say to you? I mean, think about it. We very often, we never do that. Very seldom, we never do that, do we? We're afraid sometimes to even be alone with our own thoughts, and I don't blame you. It's going to be kind of scary. I really see what's up there, isn't it? Sometimes it can be scary to be alone with our own thoughts, and that's not what I'm talking about. Because we see when Jesus slipped away to be alone, he would pray. And there's a big difference. He didn't want just being quiet to meditate, you know, kumbaya. He wasn't doing kumbaya stuff, but he was there and he was praying to the Father. He was praying to the Father. That we see that Jesus often took time to get away and to pray to the Father. And that he knew that in his relationships with people, that it required that he spent time praying alone. It took him time to be alone. And we see this often, that he was often slipping away to build his relationship with the Father and to have things to tell people and to have the right direction with people, to have the right direction in his daily life, to have right direction in his ministry, that he often slipped away and was alone, alone with God. And that's what I'm talking about. And we see this so clearly illustrated in Mark 1:35. It says that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house, went to a solitary place. He went to be alone, and he prayed. And look what happens next, what it says here. It says that what's happening here is the disciples are missing them. The crowd's coming. They're looking for Jesus. They can't find him. So Peter goes and finds him. And look what Peter says. Peter and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they said to Jesus, "Everyone is looking for you. Jesus, where you been? I know you're praying, but hey, hello, the crowd's here. They want to see you." And look what Jesus says to him. "Let's go somewhere else to the nearby villages and preach there also. That's why I have come." And see, this is a very important key for us to realize, because if Jesus had not slipped alone to pray, he'd have got up that morning, and what he'd done, he'd have went out and he'd have followed the crowd, because they were there banging on the door. They wanted to hear him teach. They wanted to be touched. They wanted to be healed. But Jesus, knowing that he needed direction from the Father, that he didn't just want to do what was expected of him, he didn't just want to do what the status quo was to do, but he wanted to make sure he was hearing clearly from the Father. Now, you and I, we probably would have thought, you know what, the crowd's here. This must be what God wants me to do. But obviously, in Jesus, in his time of solitude, his time of prayer, he said, "No, there's somewhere else I want you to go. There's something else I've got for you to do." And so by him isolating himself from the crowd and praying, he said, "No, guys, I know that sounds good, but God has something else for us to do." And he slips away, begins to do another part of ministry. And things were done, miracles in another region of the part of the place where God has sent him to go. And he would have missed out on what God had wanted him to do if he had followed just the crowd. And so when it comes to relating to people, that you have got to spend time alone with God, that you can hear God's voice and know that he is sending you different ways, that you don't just get up and walk your day the way you do it every day. That we get into the habit of just doing what comes up, and we do it. You know, we just do our same routine day in and day out. I wonder how often, if we would just stop and pray and say, "God, is there something different you want me to do today," that God wouldn't direct you. I guarantee that many times God is wanting to use you to minister to people throughout your day. If we would just stop and say, "God, where do you want me to go today? God, who do you want me to talk to today? God, what do you want me to do?" And there will be times that he will take us in a different way than we had planned on going. I wanted to go to lunch with so-and-so, but God's telling me to take the person in the mailroom to lunch today because I never done it before, but God told me to ask them to go to lunch today. Doesn't sound right. Then you ask them to lunch, and what happens? The guy sits down and starts crying. "Man, I'm going through a divorce. I just feel like giving up, and I'm this and that." And pretty soon you're there to encourage him. "Well, you know, I went through a divorce in my life, and God can help you, and God helped me." And you can all of a sudden you're relating to them, you're talking to them, and you're encouraging them. And it all happened because of why? Because you said, God, what do you want me to do today? And he says, I want you to take so-and-so to lunch today. Go sit by them in the break room today. Just stop by someone and tell them you're thinking of them or praying for them. I mean, so much can happen in our life. We'll just take time to be alone and let God direct our relationships in a practical way. How does my time alone with God affect our relationships in a practical way? Let me give it to you. It affects our relationships because we become more honest about our faults. When you spend time alone with God, we become more honest about our faults. It's pretty easy. When I spend time alone with God, it's easy to be honest about other people's faults, but it's harder to be honest about our own faults, isn't it? It's really easy to be honest about other people's faults, but it's really hard sometimes to be honest about our own faults. And so when I spend time alone with God, I have to confront my own faults in my own life. When I spend time alone with God, we become less dependent upon others' approval, and that helps our relationships. We become less dependent on others' approval. When I spend time alone with God, I'm saying, God, I want your approval of my life more than I want somebody else's approval for my life. And so spending time alone with God will help me quit being so insecure on wanting everybody else's approval that I'm living my day to please everybody else, that I can say, God, I'm living my day to please you. And so it releases me in these areas. It also, when I spend time alone with God, it causes us to be more compassionate of others' needs. I spend time alone with God, I become more aware of the needs around me, the things people are going through. And it also helps me to be less fearful of our needs not being met. And when you are spending time alone with God, you get less fearful about, what if my needs aren't met? Because you know that God is in control of your life and you're hearing God's voice and you're spending time daily. See, when you get some solitude and you get time alone with God, it changes the way you relate with people. And can you imagine husband's wife today if we spend our life like this? If we're less fearful of our needs not being met and become more compassionate of others' needs, that will change your marriage. Let me say it again, that will change your marriage. When you're not so worried about my needs being met, I'm more worried about meeting the other person's needs because I'm spending time alone with God and he's changing the way I think. He's changing the way I act. Number two, we see where Jesus, he prayed for others. He prayed for others. This is such a very simple thing, but yet so powerful in our walk and relationships with other people. We'll learn to put this principle into relationships. We find this very simple in Matthew 19:13. It says, then the little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. And we see where Jesus, what did he do? He went on to say, let them come to me. Let me bless them. We see where Jesus was busy teaching and the children were coming to Jesus. And the disciples were like, Jesus doesn't have time for the kids. He's trying to teach the multitude here. He's trying to heal people. Can you please keep your kids under control and get these kids out of here? Can you please get these twins away from these Jesus? And Jesus says, hey, listen. No, bring the twins to me. They really need prayer. But bring the children to me. Bring the children to me. And let's bless them. Let's bless them. What was he saying? He's saying he has time for people. He has time for people. And he was not just worried about the people who were going to give to the ministry of the disciples. He was just not worried about the people who were going to be more mature, but he was looking for all kinds of people and to relate to others. He had a knack of just praying for people and blessing them. I love this about Jesus' life because I believe if we can learn this simple principle that we can follow God's leading our life and we will mature us and we can change a community if we'll begin to follow this simple principle in our relationships of learning to pray for people. He prayed for others. And you say, how did he do that? And do you think Jesus had a list? Let me ask you that. Do you think Jesus had a prayer list? I really don't see in the Bible where he really had a prayer list. We see how he instructed how to pray in the Lord's Prayer as he gave instructions to how to pray. But we really don't see, you know, I've seen these lists that say on Monday you pray for this and on Tuesday you pray for that and on Wednesday you pray for this. And there's nothing wrong with those things. And if you are the kind of person who can follow those lists and pray for those particular things in those days, then I say more power to you. Keep doing it. But I'm not very much a person of organized as far as praying for a certain thing on a certain day. But I see in Jesus' life where he really was just the opposite, where he found out that how he prayed was when he came in contact with people who need prayer, he prayed for them. Now, what a simple concept, but what a concept that would change our relationships if we learned that when we come in contact with people who need prayer, that we simply just pray with them. Well, Pastor, I don't know if I can pray for somebody. I would say there's not a person in this room who can't pray for somebody. Now, what I'm not asking you to do is to go all TBN out on them, okay? I'm not asking you to come, and no one's asking you to pray 20 minutes for them in a parking lot somewhere and lay your hands on them and cast them down, you know, and that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about that you are learning how you can pray for people and be sensitive in your spirit, that when I'm talking to somebody at the lunch table and they're talking about a problem they're going through, instead of saying, you know, yeah, that sounds good, you know, I'm sorry you're going through that, I can simply say, hey, let me pray for you before we go back to work today. And simply put your hand on their arm and very quietly just say, God, I just help you. I just pray for my brother today that you would strengthen him and he would know that you love him, that things are going to work out for him. And you just simply say a prayer for him and let him go, or her. Or when you meet someone at the store that you're able to pray with them in Walmart, doesn't mean you stop the whole aisle, you know, and ask them to bring those lights out and put the aisle closers on there, and then you get in the middle of the aisle and, oh, God. Listen, there's nobody who wants to be impressed at how you pray. Really, save it. Nobody, this is not a contest, okay? This is not a contest to show who's the most mature in their prayer. But we're talking about learning to touch people's lives where they're at by saying, you know what, let me just pray with you before you leave today. And simply put your hand on them and say, God, I just pray that you help my sister. God, you help my brother today to know that you are in control of their life, that you are healing their body. And I can simply pray that prayer over them where they're at right there. And I can let them go. That's what Jesus did. He was always touching people. He was always praying for people. And we see this happen. That our lives should be this way. That if we will be spending time alone with God, it's going to make me more sensitive. And, you know, what did Peter do, man? He said, man, gold and silver, I don't have this money to give you. But, you know, such as I have, I give to thee. And, hey, why don't you rise up and walk? I mean, wow. What a prayer revival that was, right? What a long theological prayer that was. I mean, that really had no theological thing behind it at all, other than, hey, I'm kind of broke, and I know you want money, but, hey, let me tell you something else you need. You need Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Wow. What if we lived our life that way, where we're looking for people that we can come in contact with and say, Jesus loves you. Let me pray for you and let you know that God's love is in your life. And you don't have to have a fancy prayer. You can simply just put your hand and say, God, I'm just praying that you help them today. Whatever the problem they're going through, you just name that problem out. God, you help them through that problem, and they know that you love them, that you are near to them. And we give this thing over to you in Jesus' name. How simple is that? But yet you're acting in faith, and you're touching them, and letting the Holy Spirit. I guarantee you, as nervous as you feel, that when you do that for the first time, that the Holy Spirit will honor your faith. The Holy Spirit will honor your faith, and God will move through your life in a way you may never know. He will touch that person in a way you never know, by simply you being obedient. Praying for people. We got to touch people and pray for them. Jesus was so good at this. He was looking for people's lives to touch and to meet their needs. Number three, he was purposeful and yet unhurried in his contacts with people. He was purposeful and yet unhurried in his contacts with people. We see where Jesus, when he met people, that there was so much that he did that just overwhelmed me. And this kind of takes you back. But one of the things I really see is that Jesus was so purposeful, and yet he was unhurried. Isn't that an awesome thing? I mean, imagine the crowds that were pressing to get to him, that he was going to get to this place to heal this person, or he was going to teach here, or he was going to do this, he was trying to get to the multitude, or he was trying to do an assignment. But yet we see him stopping all along and ministering to people's lives. And we see where Jesus had practical signs of balance in his life. He was such a balanced person when it came to relating to people, that he had a purpose, and he was purpose-driven, and he knew he was called to do the will of the Father, but yet he was so purpose-driven that he did not allow his purpose, his goals, what he had to do to override the fact that he still had to touch people where they were at. How many of us get so busy that in our purpose-driven world that we got things we got to do, and yeah, I care for people, and yes, I want to minister to people, but I got to get my list done first today, and then after that, then I'll think about touching somebody's life today. I've got so much I got to accomplish today that Jesus, even though he had a purpose and he was purpose driven and he set out to do the will of the Father daily, yet he always adverted from his schedule to take time to pray with people. He was never in too much hurry to take time to minister to somebody who needed help. And how many times do we get that in our lives, that we're such in a hurry that somebody needs help and we know it, but you know what, God, I want to help him, but I've got to go do my other ministry here. God, I got other ministry to do. I got other work to do. And God, you love them. Send somebody else to talk to them. God, let somebody else pray for them. How many of us find ourselves finding ourselves slipping into that action, and we see where Jesus never was this way, that he had time for everyone. And he had time, not for everyone, because we see in times when the crowd came knocking that he left out the back door and went to another place because God was directing him. So he didn't try to meet everybody's needs, but he followed the Holy Spirit's leading on who he had to touch, who he had to pray for, wherever God was sending him to. But yet, when we see other times when he's on his way to minister to people, that he was so good with handling this. And how did he do this? Let me give you some signs. He didn't see his contacts with people as interruptions. He didn't see his contact with people's interruptions. That when he was interrupted by somebody wanting to talk to him who needed help, he didn't see it as interruptions. When they brought the little children to him, he said, "Bring them to me. Don't take them away." When the woman touches the hem of his garment, he's going to try to heal somebody who's dying, and the crowd's pressing against him, but yet some woman reaches out by faith and touches the hem of his garment who's sick. And Jesus stops and says, "Whoa, I know there's people pressing up against me and the multitudes follow me, but somebody here needed me. Who touched me?" And you know the story of how she was healed just by her faith. Or when he's dashing off to heal somebody else or to go to somebody else's house to minister, and he's on a time schedule. And he hears a blind man say, "Jesus, Son of David, help me." And everybody else is like, "Shh, don't bother Jesus. He's in a hurry." And Jesus stops and says, "Don't shush him. What do you need?" Jesus was such an awesome relationship with people that he valued people. And we don't see him stopping for every little person who wanted to talk to him. He wasn't able to do that. But we see at times because he spent time in solitude that he knew when he heard the voice, "Yes, this is what you told me to be ready for today, God. Here's the blind man. Here's the woman who needed prayer. Who's the friend that was going through this? Here's the woman who needed a cup of water so I could talk to her about her relationship with you. Here's the woman who nobody else wants. Here's the woman they want a stone." Yeah, okay, yeah. So he knew in his spirit. And so when this things arose up in his spirit, he knew that God was directing those moments in his life. And he wasn't too busy to stop and to see them as interruptions, but he saw them as ministry opportunities. We see where Jesus, he allowed people the freedom to make the wrong decision. You know, this is what I love about Jesus. He allowed people the freedom to make wrong decisions. You see where the rich young ruler comes to him and says, "Jesus, what do I need to do to be saved and follow after you?" And he says, "Hey, sell everything you have and follow after me." And what happened? The young man left because he had many possessions and didn't want to give it up. Did Jesus go after him? "Hey, wait, wait, come back, please, come back. No, no, you're messing." Jesus didn't do that, did he? He allowed him to make his own decision. But yet he was honest enough to tell him, "Listen, this is what it's going to take to be the follower of me." Jesus was honest with people. He allowed them to make freedom to make the wrong decision. He often took time for those that others ignored. I love this about Jesus. He often took time for those that others ignored. That we see that when so many people, whether it was the children or the leopards, the outcasts of the city, or the women who were not allowed to come in and hang out with the men who were more spiritual, so to speak. Okay, anyway. How that time has changed, women, hasn't it? Okay, let's just skip over that one. But anyway, Jesus often took time for those that others ignored. And we see this about Jesus. What an awesome aspect. I tell you, when Jesus is alive in your life, you'll learn to be the same way. That you will see people in society who are being ignored. Those of you who are in junior high and high school students, I speak to you that when you're a Christian, that you'll notice that person's at the lunch table that nobody else wants to sit by. You'll notice that person that everybody else is being mean to, and you'll stand up for them. Moms and dads today, you'll notice the people that nobody else in the neighborhood wants to talk to. You'll notice the person at work that nobody else befriends. And when you are allowing the Spirit to build your relationships, you allow Jesus to flow in your life, that your relationships will change, that you will often see the people who others ignored, and you'll spend time with those. And also, this also happens, that he often ignored those who insisted on his time. He often ignored those who insisted on his time. And I would say this, that he had the balance of this. He took time for people where they were at, but he also ignored those who wanted to get to him because he knew that he couldn't do it all. And he knew that he had to be about the Father's business. So we see the balance of this, that he often stopped and ministered to those who others ignored. Other times we see him minister to multitudes. And sometimes we see the multitudes coming to them, wanting a part of him, and he slips out the back door and goes a different place to minister to people. This is what's so cool about Jesus, that he had a balance in his relationships. He never allowed the crowd to dominate what he was going to do, but he stayed sensitive and allowed the Holy Spirit to direct him. He allowed his Father to keep him in line. He didn't allow people to distract him from God's purpose. He was very purpose-driven. He didn't allow these people to distract him from God's purpose. And he didn't allow his focus on God's purpose to keep him from meeting people's needs. He didn't allow his focus on God's purpose to keep him from meeting people's needs. And that even though he was purpose-driven in his life, and he knew that he had a calling to do the will of the Father, he did not allow his purpose to stop him from ministering to people. That he still kept people and their relationships at the forefront of who God had called him to be. He was so purposeful in his relationships. And the last thing here today, he trusted others with things he could have done more easily himself. In his relationships, we see where he trusted others with things he could have done more easily himself. And we see this very, very evident in Scripture. In Luke 9, we see where Jesus told his disciples, and when Jesus had called the 12 disciples together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to curse diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, I didn't know the disciples personally, but I can just imagine, and I think every one of us here would agree, that who was the better preacher, the disciples or Jesus? Who was the better person at driving out demons, the disciples or Jesus? Who was the better person at curing diseases, the disciples or Jesus? Okay, well, it's kind of a given, isn't it? Even though Jesus was better at doing this, he trusted people to do things. He released people. He wasn't afraid to trust people to do with things that he could even do. The things that he could do better, he wasn't afraid to trust him to do them. And this is such a key part of not only ministry, but relationships with people, that we trust people with things, that you don't have to always do everything. You don't have to always dominate the conversation. You don't have to always dominate the relationship, but you know that God trusted them. Jesus was a people person, and he trusted them to do the work of the ministry. He trusted them to do things, even when he could do it better. Even when they came back, and what happened? We come back, they're like, wow, Jesus, we healed people in your name, and they were saved in your name, and man, we cast out demons in your name. What happened? Did he say, oh no, I may not be as popular now as I was, they're going to look to the disciples? No, we don't see that. We don't see that. We sit where he talked to him and said, hey, don't rejoice. Don't rejoice because all this happened, but rejoice because your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Remember, it's all about the power of God in you, not the manifestation. Remember, it's about God working in you and that you're saved. And he took time to talk to them and to teach them. When it comes to building relationships with people that we have called to reach people, and that God wants to strengthen our relationships one with another, that God wants us, and I just wonder, what kind of impact will we have on this city when we have people walking around who are saying, God, I spend time alone with you. You're directing my day. All right, God, I've got direction in my day that I know that today I'm going to talk to somebody who needs some help, and I'm ready in my spirit. And when it happens, you come in contact with that person, you're going to know in your spirit, this is the person God told me to be ready to talk to today. Hey, let me encourage you today. Let me buy your lunch today. Let me pray with you today. Let me invite you to our house tonight. What are you going through? What things are happening? And God will begin to direct you. You'll find yourself going out of your way. You'll find yourself shopping in a different store than you shop at just because you're supposed to run into somebody there. And I said, it doesn't make sense, but I just feel like I need to go to this Walmart instead of this one. Or I feel like I need to go here instead of there. It just makes a lot of sense to you, but when you're following the Spirit, has it ever happened to you? Yes, it has. In times when I felt the Holy Spirit to redirect me where I was shopping just because I knew I was going to find somebody at that store I needed to talk to. It happens if we'll take time to follow direction of the Holy Spirit in our life, in our relationship, growing our relationships, that we allow the Spirit to direct us, that we are praying for people, we are touching people, we're sensitive to people's needs, we treat others with respect, and we know that we got to release things to them and give them that kind of respect. And we know that we're not afraid to be alone with the Holy Spirit and allow God to do something in our life. I'm going to ask our musicians to come today as we close out. As we see Jesus' example here on how he related to people, it really gives you and I such a tremendous responsibility because we see how he related to people daily. And even though I'm not God, his Spirit's alive in me. He's alive in me. His Spirit's alive in me, and he wants to do these things. And he said, greater things shall you and I see. Greater things than you and I see if we'll practice these things in our relationships with people. And I believe God wants to use you to reach people. God wants to grow our relationships with people. God wants to make you the kind of person that is sensitive to meeting people's needs. How's that work, though? How's that work? Spending time alone with God, getting some solitude and knowing that God is alive in your heart. He's directing your thoughts. And you're finding, God, who did I pray for today? God, who did I reach today? Today, in closing, I just pray that you would not be afraid to get involved in a small group. Don't be afraid. Listen, if you're, I don't know what your history has been. Maybe you've had successful small groups. Maybe you've had a bad experience before. Maybe you've just been nervous about being involved. I don't know what it is. But I say, don't allow any hang-ups or any past things to stop you from doing what God wants to do in your life. That when we get together in these small groups, that they are such a great key for us to practice what Jesus is doing. As we get spend time refreshing each other, challenging each other in God's Word, talking about what God's doing in our life, that we build in relationships. And as we do that, we're sharing, opening up. This is the things I'm going through in my life I need prayer for. And you're encouraging somebody else who's going through something. And you're praying for each other, and you're building these relationships. And then when you leave there, you're thinking, who needs to be involved in this small group? Who's not involved here? There's a person at work that I know may not want to come to church yet, but if I could just get them to our small group for some food and fellowship, then I know they probably would come to church next. And you see, you're learning. The Holy Spirit's directing you. Boy, this has been a great lesson for so-and-so in my work to be at. I wish they could have been here to hear us discuss how this person went through this situation. They've been going through the same thing. And so you're allowing the Holy Spirit to direct you and to lead you, to bring in people into the kingdom of God. We're all called to reach people. We're all called to see the kingdom of God advance through you. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads today. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, you're talking about how Jesus treats people. And as you talk, I realize today that I'm important to God. That Jesus has time for me. And I didn't realize that God was such a personal God. And yes, I say today, He is a personal God and He loves you very much. That He died on the cross for my sins and your sins. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my life. I've never asked Him to be Lord of my life. And today, I want to accept Him into my life. I would not embarrass you, but I do want you, when no one's looking, can you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. I want to accept Him. Can you raise your hand if that's you today? Anywhere? Thank you. Anybody else today? Say, that's me. Anybody else today? Say, that's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ. We had some who raised their hands today, so let's all say this prayer and repeat after me. Let's make sure we say it together. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I give you everything I am. I give you my sin. I give you my life. I accept you as Lord of my life. I will follow after you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, this is not the end all, but it's a starting point. It's a starting point of a relationship. And if you accepted Jesus Christ in your heart today, it's a starting point of saying that I'm going to go after Christ. But I'm not going to be the same person I was. But I'm going to turn around and do a 180 and begin to walk in a different direction. Doesn't mean you're not going to have a hard time. Doesn't mean that you're not going to make some mistakes. But it means that you are going to begin to pursue a righteous way of living according to the Word of God. It's important that you plug into a small group that's coming up. That you plug into friends. If someone brought you, you say, hey, let's go to a small group together. I got to build new friendships. I got to build some new relationships that's going to help me do better. Today, if you're here today, I just pray. Call on your hand because I want every one of us to say, this is my desire. I want everyone to say that today, Pastor, I want to be the kind of person that loves people the way Jesus loved people. If that's your heart, can you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to learn to love people the way Jesus loved people. That's my heart's desire. And we're not there yet. None of us are perfect. We all need His help. And so I'm going to ask you to stand with me today, and I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray today, and I believe if we will gear our heart toward this thing and ask God to help me and direct me, that He will do something in our life, that He will give us a kind of passion for people daily that we need to have, that we'll not see people as distractions, we'll not see our purpose-driven life as a life that cannot stop and help people, but that it goes hand in hand. Father, today I pray for everyone here today, that Father, you would help us, Lord, to begin to carry your heart, Lord, in our relationships with people. That God, we begin to see people the way you've seen them. That God, when others see people who have failed, when others see people that have been rejected, God, you would give us compassion for them. That God, we could show them mercy the same way you showed us mercy. that, God, we can show them forgiveness the same way you showed us forgiveness. And God, help us to be people who are sensitive, Lord, to the people that you are directing us daily. They got our life daily in our workings, in our relationships with people, Lord, in our relationship with our children and our spouse, Lord, our friendships, Lord, our relationships with our employers, our employees, God. Everywhere we go, Father, may we learn to see people the way you see them. And we learn to treat them the way you treat them, Father, and the way that you are asking us to do that. So, Father, help us to spend time alone with you daily. Help us to find solitude and prayer with you throughout our day that we can, Father, be a person who prays over the things that you have us to do. We can be a person who's led by your Holy Spirit. We can be the person who prays for the people who need prayer. And God, I come against every spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that, God, you give them a spirit right now, Father, of boldness to follow after you. You give them a spirit, Father, directed of your Holy Spirit, Lord, which gives them the boldness, God, to reach out, to pray for somebody, to show kindness, to show compassion. Father, that we can point people to the kingdom of heaven, that you may be glorified in all that we do. And we say yes, Father, today. Help us to love people. Help us to see people the way you did. And to grow our relationships, Lord, according to the word of God. And by your example, may we grow in favor with men as well as you did. Father, that's our prayer today. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Tonight, 5:30, we'll be here growing in relationships with each other. Be here. Come and have a good time. We'll see you tonight at 5:30. We say, God bless you.